You didn't win that kind of battle by, well, you, my going to Toronto and working with them. That's the way we won our battle.
Yeah.
You didn't win it by using a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
There are a lot of other ways to win battles.
Right.
Well, anyway, we did win it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was only just one of the cogs in a very small cog, but we were pretty well satisfied that that is the way to win the battle.
Yeah.
But anyway, they didn't stay to fight the battle.
Yeah.
So I think I'll answer all your questions right there.
Yes.
Lecky did a good job.
Yeah.
Although the ones that brought him back regretted it. Oh God, and how? And furthermore, you better take that off, Reg.
No.
Furthermore, he undercut the man that both Johnson and more Bredner. When Bredner ran, Bredner lost out in the United Kingdom. They brought him back, and I think they killed Bredner. I knew Bred very well, and the very fact they'd retire might well was a dreadful blow.
I'd like to hear more about that.
Well, that'll be private, because...
Yes, all right. We haven't time, really, to go into this, but there was, you said one very fascinating thing, that you became... you took command of the staging route by accident.
Well, it was by accident. You see, in 1942, I was at Yorkton when in command of my station. I was just getting very, very happy, got in good shape. And in 1 year, we headed the number of pilots on two successive courses a month. Chevy got it on every school, and we got a shield. And two, in the first, Borden was in it, 30 years old or 40, whatever. Trenton was in it. And the other stations got scandals and were going. Well, Yorkton was only started in the spring of 41. I say it produced a crop of wheat in 1940.
Mm-hmm.
We got there two months in the year we headed to Canada. I'm pretty goddamn proud of it. My troops were proud of it. They were all walking about 10 feet high.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to leave. But they were having trouble in Calgary and said that they were going to send me, so I was told to get there. Well, there was trouble. The RAF were giving a little trouble. That's off the record. Because they learned to work very happily after I got there. We had, within a week, they'd had around 600 men doing what they called a sit-down strike. You know, that's just no goddamn good. And we had a hell of a time to keep it out of the press. And another station, another bloody fool, RAF CO, pulled his troops out across the highway. This is just after Pearl Harbor, of course, between 41 and I told you the spring of 42 when I went there, well, March 42. He got wind up one night and he pulled his troops out across the highway and hell, the Japs are coming down. It wasn't even a roadway. But these nuts, you see. Well, I had a hell of a time about that. So Bill and I moved in and take that over, 40,000 troops, Fred. So that anyway, it worked. But I wasn't in charge of the Americans hadn't built it. The Americans started to build their highway in that spring, very early. But the American Army Engineer Corps built the roadway. The Air Force, the Air Force, built the airway and commanded it and operated it throughout the war.
Mm-hmm.
But they were operating it from Ottawa when I first went in there. Well, all the this went on. I didn't want to sing it, but I had enough headaches of my own. But all the American aircraft coming up from their training bases all over Hell's Half Acre, they were trying, see, between Pearl Harbor and the Battle of Midway. Well, see what Midway is in the minute we've got time. There was nothing out there. They actually, the guns shelled a little piece out here, as you know. Jap submarine. The gentleman who wrote the account for moved his papers and his effects to Calgary, and his wife lived in Banff for 2 years. That was the mentality here on Tom Bable. They were, but mark you, hell, if the Battle of Midway had gone the other way, they were right. The Battle of Midway is out of this world. If you got the book, Incredible Victory?
Yes.
You've got it.
Yes.
You've read it.
Yes.
And his name, Lord?
Lord, Walter Lord.
You've read it?
Yes.
Well, it's an incredible book.
It's a very good book.
I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the mentality. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Now, the bloody aircraft coming up in the United States, a young kid a dozen cases of it, youngsters leave their flying training base down in Texas. In Texas gear. In the other uniform would be someone in the airplane, fighters, trying to get to Alaska. Between Peace River and Dawson Creek, there wasn't an airdrome. And they'd come up there, quite any number, a 45 or something like that on their hip. Not even a pea gun to shoot a pigeon or at least a partridge on it, believing that they had to land. And it's pathetic, completely pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think,
I'll tell you this very quickly, Don, so in 2 seconds I'll confine it. The aircraft from the United States gradually tugged up all my items. They had nowhere to go, no home. Nobody in Ottawa to organize the damn thing. I took off all my schools, and they were supposed to crank and get their pupils up. And they were getting bloody mad because I was riding hell out of them. Okay, I took off from Calgary one morning to go down to Edmonton to check up on that air base, because that was the ultimate one. It was clogged. It took me longer to taxi in after I landed in Edmonton than didn't even fly up there. I sent a telegram to Redner from Houston. Before all my, I'd sent this down about 3 or 4 times through the mill, but oh Christ, everything choked up in the mill. So this was a direct one, there was no fooling on that. And I told them that unless I heard the contrary within, I think it was 48 hours or 24 hours, I was going to move the old multi-million dollar school out of Edmonton and move it to another station down the line to give the Americans a chance to clear this goddamn logjam, because my schools are going to stop anyway. I said, unless you've got a better plan, in the meantime, I'm going to down to Grand Prairie to clear the field, see what's going on. When I got to Grand Prairie, I had a wire from Bretton, minister and self, moving west immediately, meet me in Regina tonight. I'd turn around there late in the afternoon, fly back to Edmonton, then fly on to Regina. And by the time I got in there, they'd had their dinner and it was black dark. And the next, Redner, about 12, old Chubby kept me up drinking till about 2, and Redner sneaked away to bed about 12. And the next morning, it was in June, and this is early June, the bloody place was fogged right in, right down. I'd never seen a fog in Regina at that time of the year before, and I've never seen one like it since. But it's just one of those summer deals, fogged in. Well, about 2 o'clock when I got away from Chubby, he said, "Will you have breakfast with me?" And I said, "Well, sir, I've already ordered my breakfast sent up to my room, and the room service is now closed." I was delighted that I hadn't planned. That's true, sir. I always did that. I ordered my breakfast sent up, and I had to get up to help the goddamn thing. And that way I could be on time.
Yeah.
But, so the next morning we got down at 7 o'clock. We met outside the hotel at the time. And still fogged in, but we were going to go. And I remember I'd gone on just with my crew, and I'd find my own aircraft in this month up there. Until we looked around, the air was better. And 2 pilots and a couple of crewmen, and an ADC to Chubby, or at least another, Christ, a whole bloody set. And then Chubby turned around to me and looked at me and said, "Hudson, where in the hell's your pilot?" I said, "I'm flying my own airplane, sir." I said, "You take all my good pilots away and send them overseas down to Ottawa. I find my own." He said, "You're a bigger fool than I thought you were." So, but anyway, in the fog, I flew straight across to Edmonton. They went down on the railway track and followed the railway track. The beam was on the railway track to the left. And by God, in June, it appeared, I figured it all up from the weather report, that I would only have about 50 minutes in the fog. I was a little bit wrong. I was about an hour and 10 minutes. And after being up to Chabi, those goddamn instruments were waving their hands at me, but got out of the fog. But I got in, and the CEO of the station was there, because they wouldn't have landed any more than now in Lethbridge. They've got to get up here. I'm going to go in and change my uniform and a shower, and if I've got 20 minutes to put my head down, and I said, well, when they get here, I knew that it appeared that they'd be absolutely boiled in that damn tin fish of theirs, and they were. And I said, sure, I had nearly half an hour with my head down, and I was there to meet them, and I put my aircraft out of the way. And when they drew up at the field in Edmonton, and Chubby, Benner got out first, and he's a big fat man. I've never seen anything so soaked and wet and miserable, and I just changed my uniform just out of a shower, and he looked at me, and Christ, he said, I didn't think you'd be here yet. He thought it'd be over behind me. Oh, I said, no, sir, I flew straight across. And Chubby came out, and he said, you son of a bitch again. So, but I've got Wap May, you never heard Wap in a second. Well, he, for Christ's sake, you line them up on the mantle over there before the... And have, I forget what Chevy was drinking, but I knew what Brad drank, and I said, put them all doubled and too deep right across the mantle. So I said to Chevy, as soon as it's awfully hot out here, sir, and the car's here, could we go across? And I didn't have to encourage them very much. They got off, the tarmac was dreadfully hot. And we got over there, and then he said, now, Hassan, I see your problem, but I think you better come to Alaska with us. They were going out of Alaska. And I said, well, sir, I have those seconds in command that you've taken away everyone. They had. I said, the responsibility is just right out of this world. I daren't leave it unless I get a direct order to come. But I'll go to the wedding and find my own aircraft. So they went away, and they came back, and all I got was telegrams. It's not your problem. I had it for 2 years.
Yeah.
And this is what Truman said about it up there, if you want to read it.